The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. Good to have you on board for another hour. Welcome if you've just tuned in. Later on we'll be chatting to Charlie Weston, going through the changes, not the changes, but the soon-to-be-announced officially government package to deal with the cost of living situation, the crisis that we are living in. So stay tuned for that. My daughter is a full-time teacher working locally. She is in a constant fight to get planning permission to build on our own land. She had to redraw the house plans three times. This morning, she said, "Enough of this, Dad. Forget about the planning. We're just going to look at moving to Australia. This is the entire problem in Donegal." Now, that is particularly, to me, very worrying. I don't like that. Maybe it's the fear that one of my boys would come and say that to me. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Maybe that's selfish as well, some of you might feel. But a daughter here, full-time working as a teacher, which is a very important job. And because of her battles to get planning permission, she's thinking of just upping sticks and moving to Australia. That's not good. That is not good. That's not spreading your wings to see the world to return home. That's being forced out of your own country. "Hi, Greg. If I go into the bank and say I identify as a millionaire, will they let me withdraw that money?" No. And I understand what you're saying. I'm not making jokes about that stuff because it's really, really important to some people, even if it's not to others. But there's no point taking a hand at them, I suppose. But anyway, look, at that's your comment. Cora says, "I feel that rewrite..." This is Roald Dahl's books. I'm not a big reader, okay, so I don't know the ins and outs, but a number of the books are being rewritten or have been rewritten. Now, they're not replacing the old books. Whether they do or not over time, I don't know. But offensive phrases like black is a word that's even in a context that got nothing to do with race. Fat, describing as someone working as in a shop has been replaced by a business, working as a business owner, that kind of stuff. This listener says, "I feel that rewriting literature for any other purpose other than translation is wrong. A work of literature should reflect its own time and place. As PC as I have always endeavoured to be, lefty 80s kid here, and always will be, things are getting ridiculous. The works reflected the morals and attitudes of the time. Editing for the sake of fear of causing offence is ridiculous. The context of the writing and the mores of the time determine the meaning. Just leave them alone. They are of their time and children should read them as they are. They can compare historical writing with contemporary writing. The PC is going too far." Awful, absolutely awful. "Can we not read a book now without adapting it beforehand? Our children are going to become more and more confused." You see, what another thing that's so ridiculous about this whole world we're living in here, and I'm not saying anyone should be cancelled, but have a listen to have a listen to what children listen to musically at the moment. You know, have a listen to the latest song from Sam Smith or Nicki Minaj. I couldn't read the lyrics. Do you know what? I might open up a song, a modern song that's very popular on Spotify at the moment that all the children are listening to, and I might just sort of have a read through it. I'm not sure if I could read it out loud. We're at the moment, everyone's listening to all manner of stuff on TV, whatever's going on in Love Island. You know, the stuff that goes on in Love Island, all that's fine. But a book from the 60s has to have certain words changed because it might offend some people. Do you get me? There's something in there that doesn't make a little bit of, doesn't make a lot of sense. But I'm always open to be convinced otherwise. So if you have any views on that, regardless of what they are, 086 60 25,000, where will this politically correctness stop? Will they have to go back and water down Shakespeare's work like Hamlet? World Just Gone Mad from Rosaline. Another, "I cannot believe a single being would be delighted to hear Bertie Ahern's making a comeback. Are they living in La La Land to welcome him back to power? Beggars believe he has no power. He's back in their party. He's not looking to go back to elected politics." I'm not defending the person, by the way. I'm just making sure we have the conversation in the right context. "Hi there. I was just wondering if Highland Radio know if people on illness benefit qualify for the €200 bonus. Let me try and get to the bottom of that for you when we get the actual literature from the government. Businesses have sent letters regarding commercial rates and given 40 days to appeal. Surely the process should be the same to notify. On to godparents. Godparents are two people chosen by parents of a baby being baptised to promise in front of the officiating priest that in the event of the parents, through any reason, neglecting to raise the child in the Catholic religion, that they will take on the task. Okay, that's what I thought it was. It has no legal standing and it's not enforceable. It is no more than an honorary title, as many godparents nowadays are not practicing Catholics themselves. Their only function, as far as I can see, is another source of presence at birthdays, etc. Now, I get you what you're saying about practicing, right? But it doesn't, because you're not practicing your religion, it doesn't make you a bad person. And it doesn't mean you don't live your life with the guidance of that religion. So really effectively, you can't divorce your grandparents at 18. I thought it was really interesting, that caller earlier on, saying that they changed out a godparent. If someone approached you and says, look, at Greg's 2.5 now, but he hasn't seen his godparent for 2.5 years, would you become a godparent now? What would you say? Would you be honoured and go, yeah, no problem? Or would you go, wow, second choice? I don't know. What do you think? I know this is not the most important thing out there, by the way, but look, we have to have a bit of light and shade too. Caller says, I agree about godparents. We chose one of my husband's best friends to be the male godparent, and from the day of the christening, he never said his name. Either how was he? Could he help out by babysitting or give him a thing for his birthday or Christmas? When it came to his confirmation, I just asked his uncle to do it and cut him out. My suggestion to parents would be, choose your godparents more wisely. Okay, and I think, though, that kind of depends on your family group as to how important godparents are in a person's life. Goodness knows what the world's coming to. I haven't to ask about godparents. Why would you want to change godparents? It's ridiculous. Because it's relative. And to that person today, it's important to them. They might feel they're abandoned or left by their godparents. I know where you're coming from. It's with everything that's going on, it's not. But look, we all have our own little worries as well, because there's very serious things happening. You know, in real life, it is the little things, the little personal things that bother us. You know, we can come to terms with major national events and they sort of just become part of life. But the little things that niggle at you, the little things that bother you, the things that go round and round in your head, to the individual, incredibly, incredibly important. And I want this to also be a space where people feel that they can express those and maybe seek a little help from other listeners. One of the worst aspects of parental alienation is when the custodial parent erases the father out of their child's life by changing their surname or by making their new partner their child's legal guardian. Believe it or not, this does happen. And of course it does happen. It can't quite happen in reverse in terms of changing names, though the name can be changed casually in reverse, if not officially. But look, it's a very, very tough situation when parents of young children particularly, I think, separate, especially if there's acrimony there. Maybe they're leaving for another partner on either side of the relationship. And the children are there in the middle. And they're the thing that get you. They're the thing that pull at the heartstrings. They're the thing you can't get over. So I get you. And I can imagine, I can only imagine how tough that is. Right, back with more after these.
It's time for NCBI Bingo on Highland Radio.
It's Tuesday the 21st of February. You're playing on the brown sheet. The reference number is S17. It's game number 8. The numbers are 26, 24, 60, 27, 43, 41, 33, 12, 70, and finally, 62. Phone your claim to 910-4833 before 8 tonight, leaving your name, contact number and the name of the shop where you purchased your book, and we'll call you back the next working day. Get all your NCBI Bingo information at highlandradio.com.
Discover your dream Donegal wedding by choosing Jackson's or Villa Rose Hotel for your wedding day. Exuding elegance, quality and a wealth of experience in executing the perfect wedding reception, Jackson's or Villa Rose is the venue for you. Get in touch to arrange a private wedding viewing appointment with a member of our dedicated wedding team today. Visit villarose.ie or jacksonshotel.ie for more information, or find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Change is happening in Letterkenny, and for the better. Letterkenny Medics is a new private clinic, opening soon, offering private healthcare. Dr. Muhammad and Dr. Ripu welcome new patients to the clinic conveniently located on the Port Road. Open 7 days per week from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m, offering full medical consultation and checkups, including a full cardiac screening with echo, assessments of minor injuries, and the facility to complete minor surgeries without the long waiting times. To register, visit letterkennymedics.ie or call 07492-02955. Letterkenny Medics. We listen if you want to talk.
Do you have a stoma? Coloplast Ireland's free stoma review clinic comes to the Radisson Blue Hotel in Letterkenny on Tuesday the 28th of February. Registered stoma nurse Eileen Lim June will review your stoma, access your requirements, and offer any training or ongoing support you may require. For more information or to register for an appointment, call Coloplast on 019 190 190.
The 9 till noon show with Letterkenny Credit Union. Do you need to switch your current account or loan? We are now offering MyCU current account and debit MasterCard, bringing full banking features and competitive rate switcher loans. Information slot. The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91 26025.
Okay, it is Tuesday, the 21st of February, 2023, and it's time for Community Garda information with Garda Grainne Doherty. How are you getting on, Grainne?
I'm doing the best.
It's good to have you in with us. Thanks so much for joining us. Right, okay, I want to talk a little bit about the weekend, but we'll do that at the end, if that's all right.
100%,
yeah. It sounds like it was a great bit of fun and what have you, but we'll start with the appeals. And Gardaí looking for the help, public's help in relation to a public order incident in Letterkenny.
Yeah, this incident happened on Wednesday the 15th of February, just up in the Glencarra area at approximately 1:20 p.m. So Gardaí received a report that there was a fight in progress at that location, that a number of men were involved. Gardaí patrolled the area, but unfortunately there was no sign of the men in question. A short while afterwards, a video of what is believed to have been the fight in question started to circulate online and on WhatsApp and what have you. So we're eager, firstly, to speak with the person who initially recorded the incident, and we asked them to make contact with us and not to be afraid to do so, to come in. They can speak to us in confidence. You know, they can do so in a confidential manner. We also wish to speak to anybody who witnessed this incident, who was in the area and who may have captured it on their dash cam footage, to make contact with us in Letterkenny on 91 67 100. And as always, for all our incidents, the Garda Confidential Line can be contacted on 1800 666 111.
Okie doke. Now, criminal damage in Letterkenny.
This incident happened at Ardlonan on the Long Lane, Letterkenny, between Wednesday the 14th at 6 p.m. and then 7 a.m. on Thursday the 15th. So a car was parked up at a homeowner's house at that location, and they discovered that the top of the driver's door was bent open between those hours. So entry wasn't gained to the car. If anybody observed any suspicious activity in that area, the Ardlonan or the Long Lane area, between those dates, we asked them to make contact with us in Letterkenny on 074 91 67 100.
Not nice to have happened, but also, even though nothing taken, an expensive problem to fix. So want to get those responsible for that. Staying in Letterkenny, we're going to the Port Road criminal damage case there.
Yeah, this is quite an unusual one, actually. This happened on the Port Road. So the lower Port Road, down near the station roundabout. So it happened in the early hours of Thursday the 15th, in and around 2:10 a.m. So a car was parked up on the lower Port Road. A male, he's been described as a male in dark clothing. He was wearing a black jacket and black jeans and white high top trainers. He approached the car, he smashed the rear driver's side window, and then he left on foot in the direction of the station roundabout or the Remelton Road. So somebody was actually in the car at the time of the incident, and thankfully they weren't hurt. We appeal to anybody who was in that area who may have witnessed what happened to contact us, but also, again, as with nearly every appeal now, we appeal also for dash cam footage from anybody who travelled in the area of the station roundabout or the lower Port Road on the 15th of February between 2 a.m. and 2:30 a.m. And actually, a lot of taxi drivers park along there too, that car park, you know, just across from the station roundabout. And a lot of those drivers would have dash cam footage. So if that's the case, if they were there, they had a dash cam, we would ask them to leave the footage into the station to us.
Yeah, so, and just to clarify a couple of things in relation to that, as we do regularly, but because it's become such an important part of the item, is that you're not necessarily looking for the moment, the person, smash the window. You've got a good description of him. You might get a, or her, but I presume it's a him, you might get a good shot of his face or whatever. So it's in and around that space. And also, you don't need the person to download the image, to cut out the relevant piece, to scan it themselves and forward it on. You have people that do that.
Exactly. And as you say, we could get a good image of this person's face. You know, perhaps they had a car parked up. You know, we might get the registration number of the car from dash cam footage. And as you say also, a lot of people too, maybe they're not aware of how to go through the footage in the dash cam. Yeah. So no, it's not an issue. Drop it into us and we'll spend the time then going through the footage. So Letterkenny, Gardaí, you're dealing with this matter. And again, 9167100 is the number to call.
Right, let's go to Buncrana now. An alleged assault, Gardaí, are investigating.
Yeah, this assault happened on the Dr. Dennis McLaughlin Road in Buncrana on Sunday the 19th in and around 1:25 p.m. So a man is believed to have been assaulted by another man at that location, and injuries were sustained, but they're not life-threatening in nature, thankfully. So we appeal to anybody who travelled in that area who had a dash cam again to make the footage available to us, or if anybody seen what happened, if they witnessed this incident, we ask them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540. And, you know, it was lunchtime on a Sunday, so hopefully...
Unusual, isn't it, the middle of the day? You know, thankfully, but you don't see this happen too often.
It's not a regular occurrence, no. But given the time of day and a Sunday, you know, perhaps there were families out and about for the day, you know, and people out for a spin, and hopefully somebody saw something. And if they did, we would ask them to come forward.
Maybe on the way to go and watch the game somewhere or something. Yeah. Okay. Right, now, theft in Bonagy. What's going on here?
Yeah, this happened in Bonagy. So Sunday the 19th at Bonagy, Letterkenny. So in around 10:20 p.m, a blue-coloured Fiat was driven down the road there alongside the Dry Arch filling station. You know, the road down. There's quite a number of businesses then on that road. So this blue Fiat travelled down that road. The driver proceeded to steal four Volkswagen alloy wheels from the back of a business premises. So we appeal to anybody who had a dash cam again, who was in and around that area, the area off the Dry Arch filling station perhaps, or down the road itself, and who may even have, you know, observed this car, to come forward and speak to us in Letterkenny on 9167100.
All right, that's 20 past 10 on Sunday night. Right, now, sheep theft in St Johnston.
Yeah, this is 24 sheep. So five of the sheep were female, they were black in colour, and 19 male. They were stolen from a farm at Ballybow, St Johnson, so between 5 p.m. on Wednesday the 15th and 11 a.m. on Friday the 17th of February. So 12 of the sheep we know had a red marking sprayed on their back, and four of them had a blue marking sprayed on their back. We're unsure at present whether the other eight sheep had markings or not. So if anybody has any information in relation to the current whereabouts of these sheep, we ask them to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167100, or if anybody has any relevant information in relation to the theft, we'd like to speak to them too.
It may or may not happen overnight, and that presents two scenarios. One, obviously there isn't necessarily as much traffic, but two, if someone did spot this type of activity, it probably looks a little bit out of place in the middle of the night.
Of course. If
they did see it. So the quietness potentially could have happened 5 past 5. But let's just say it did happen overnight. That might actually help in jogging someone's memory out there and getting in touch with the guard. It's a significant amount of sheep to lose. Right, okay. Now, kayaks, which are an expensive and awful thing, stolen from Letterkenny Ward.
They are, yeah. And this was actually, it happened between January 1st and February 11th. It was only just recently brought to our attention. So, yeah, the theft of two kayaks. These had been stored in a trailer at a holiday home in the Farragans area of Letterkenny Ward. So they're believed to have been stolen between January 1st and February 11th. So both of these kayaks are red in colour. The first is a 6 metre Perception Carolina, and the other is a 5 metre Perception Acadia. So, look, people who deal with these type of boats and perhaps might know a bit more about them than me. If they hear anything, if they hear any word in the street, or hear even of some of these types of kayaks for sale on a second hand basis, could be innocent. But we would appreciate hearing them if they come across them for sale. A photo of a similar type of kayak will be posted to our Facebook page this morning. And we ask if anybody has any relevant information that might help progress this matter to contact Gardaí in Milford on 9153060.
Yeah, and the owners are looking at a minimum of 1,200 out of pocket.
They're expensive items.
Plus someone coming around your house and taking your stuff. And as you say, they're quite distinctive. And might be handy enough spotted on the secondary market, the second-hand market. Okay. Any information on all of those, you can contact any Garda station, of course, and they will help you, or that confidential line. And the information will get to the relevant Gardaí. But of course, if you can ring the station directly, all the better. Okay, the community engagement meetings are ongoing. Milford and Buncrana next, is it?
Yeah, actually, we had ours in Letterkenny already, and they were a great success, I have to say. Now, it was great. And it gives people an opportunity just to converse. Some people might not even, you know, back years ago, everybody knew their local guard. They knew them by their first name. You know, they knew.
I'm afraid of them all now. I just avoid them.
Maybe it's just me you're afraid
of.
No, but
it's very scary. He comes in. Don't let him. Scary.
He gives you the look.
Charlene. Paul Walt, don't get me started.
Terrified.
Don't get him started.
No, don't get him started. No, it'll be a long day. But you know, the Letterkenny events, it gave you a chance to get to know the community. You know, beforehand, maybe you were waiting for a while for the meeting to start. You got to chat to people from the community, get to know them, ask their names. They got to know your name. They got their chance just to voice their opinions. The policing plan is discussed at all these meetings, the policing plan for 2023. But people had a chance to maybe discuss other issues that are going on in their area that they wanted their voice heard in relation
to. And I think it's worth pointing out too, and I'm not expecting you to comment on this, right? But, you know, this is a meeting with your local Gardaí, and you might turn up with concerns that the Gardaí themselves share.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In that... Yeah. There's decisions, different ways of doing things that maybe different people might want to do, but you're compelled to do things a certain way. So in other words, it's not always a them and us, is it? Because I think there's a kind of a, you know, there'll be a lot of nodding between guards and the public because a lot of the stuff we're on the same page on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and of course, look, we welcome the feedback of the public. And as you say, it could be a common issue. Maybe it's something that we're concerned about that they're also concerned about, but... They come up with fresh ideas, maybe ideas that we haven't come up with before in order to resolve these matters. So, no, I know Milford Gardaí actually had one of these community engagement meetings last night, and Buncrana also had one last night, but there's a few more coming up. Just wanted to draw everybody's attention to them. So, the Milford District Gardaí will hold another community engagement meeting in the Valcarra PCC tomorrow evening, Wednesday the 22nd. That starts at 7:30 p.m. Buncrana Gardaí will hold a community engagement meeting tomorrow evening also at 7 p.m. at the Greencastle Centre. And I know Buncrana Gardaí have a further meeting that's due to take place on Tuesday the 28th of February at 7 p.m. in the Colgan Hall in Carndonagh. So everybody's welcome. Look, more than welcome. Refreshments are served as well at these meetings.
And face-to-face information on the likes of cybercrime, internet safety, home security, frauds, you know, stuff that goes on all of the time that can't always be mentioned during this item, or we'd be here for quite some time.
Yeah.
So that's just general information. So, as I say, an opportunity to get that in-person info as well. Right, OK, community engagement meetings just mentioned. The Garda Youth Awards 2023, can't believe we're back launching these again.
It's hard to believe it.
But you know what? Every year, don't they throw amazing stories of amazing people? And particularly our young people, because I hope regular listeners to the programme understand that I think we've got amazing young people. I think the absolute majority are brilliant, but the little errors at times get more press than perhaps.
They do, and that's the nature of this.
But this is a good thing because this is all about highlighting the youth and what they've done.
Yeah, how definitely. And as you say, we're more likely to hear about the negative things that young people get involved in and, you know, the negative side to that. So we're delighted. Look, it's been launched today, the Garda Youth Awards for 2023. This is again this year in association with the JPC, so the Donegal Joint Policing Committee. So these awards celebrate outstanding young people between the ages of 13 and 21 years old from throughout the county of Donegal. So we recognise young people. Look, they've been involved in good and positive endeavours locally. And the Youth Awards just recognise young people who, by their presence in their communities, make it a better place to live in. So the nomination process is now open. We are inviting the public to nominate a young person and or a group of young people they know who was committed to making a difference in their community. So last year, during the year of 2022. And all nominees will receive recognition. You know, even they don't win an overall award, they will all receive recognition in the coming
weeks. So what that means is if you don't mind, Grania, so if there's someone, a neighbour of yours who's a great young fella, great young girl, and you nominate them, even if they don't go on, they will receive a recognition to say you've been nominated. So in other words, anyone nominated gets recognition of that, and it's a lovely wee lift. That in of itself will be enough for me, I think, to encourage me to nominate people around me.
Of course, yeah. And look, it's nice to receive recognition. We all like receiving recognition.
I know exactly what you mean. I wish they could do radio...
radio recognition.
Radio presenters recognition awards that you didn't have to pay to enter. That's why I don't win any awards, you see.
Well, there's no charge to enter this but I think you're outside the age bracket.
Might try one of these things. But let's see. What's the upper age?
21, Greg. Yeah, no, so they do. They all receive a certificate. And then, look, it's nice to have that certificate too, maybe for the future, you know, to use it, you know, in CVs and what have you. You know, and it's good to see, to be nominated is a great thing in itself.
And the shortlist was amazing last year, what young people do. And then Josh, of course, he went on and no pressure on this year's nominees. He went on and received recognition at a national level as well, which is it's a brilliant thing for him, his family, the community and the county, I think.
It is. Josh Marley, yeah. And we also had Alan McCarron and Cormac Brady. They won the Community Safety Award last year in the national level. But every year so far, so good, fingers crossed, we've had great success at national level. So the pressure's on again this year. We want to keep up the momentum now, and we hope to have more national winners this year. But
right,
look,
what categories do we have then?
Yeah, so the same as every other year, it's the same. It's individual award. So this is to somebody who makes a positive contribution to their community, making it a better place to live. Group award, two or more young people who make a positive contribution to their community, again, making it a better place to live. Special achievement award. So this would be given to somebody who has overcome difficult circumstances, defied all the odds, and whose commitment deserves recognition. And fourth is community safety awards. So young people who, through a crime prevention or safety initiative innovation, have made their community a safer place to live.
And some of the suggestions are amazing. Some of the things they come up with, they can do it individually or through the schools sometimes. There's some brilliant stuff. Who calls the shots here? Who decides who wins?
Yeah, so the judging committee, this year's adjudicators are Judge Etchen Cunningham. She will chair the committee. And Inspector Paul McGee, this will be his first year now getting involved with the Youth Awards, and I know he's looking forward to getting stuck in. And Councillor Jerry McMonigle also.
All right. Garda.ie, is it?
Garda.ie, you can get the forms at Garda, www.garda.ie. The County Council, now their Facebook page and their website also, given the JPC's involvement, they always have the forms, the link to download the forms there also. Look, you can call to your Garda station, you can call to Buncrana, Letterkenny, Milford, or Ballyshannon. I nearly forgot the fourth station. No, Letterkenny, Buncrana, Ballyshannon, or Milford.
It's like at this stage, the way they're doing everything with boundaries and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you get confused.
The station
easy to get
itself,
confused.
I'm not getting drawn into the new policing plan, but you know what I mean,
But you can call into any of those stations and look, they can download the form for you. So you send the form back, then you can email it to Donegal Garda Youth Awards at garda.ie. You can post it to Letterkenny Station and just leave it maybe for my attention, Garda Grania Doherty. Just stick that on the envelope that is for my attention. So the nomination should be received by 12 p.m. on Monday, the 27th of March, to be considered.
If I put Sergeant Grania Doherty, would it get to you? Just in case I made that mistake.
It would give me an air of importance anyway. It would be if you want to do that, yeah.
You were freezing for a reason at the weekend out in Rathmullen. I mean, obviously, there's no point asking, was the water cold? Was it good fun?
It was brilliant. It was great crack, now I have to say. And you know, it's funny, somebody gave me a great tip the day before, which I didn't do, but I'll remember it now when the next one comes around. But they said that you're meant to go in first and dip your feet in the water, you know, just to paddle in the water for a minute or two before you do the plunge.
It's cheating,
but
that is.
To be honest with you now, it's called the polar plunge, but mine was more of a polar plop. Because again, I seen some of them there and they were, you know, they tucked the legs under them and they took off on their way. It was so impressive. And I kind of stand as close as I can to the shore it's more like a plop. But I still got wet and I still got freezing cold, but it was great crack.
And you raised a load of money, as did your colleagues and everyone else taking part, for as we heard last week, for a brilliant cause that helps thousands and thousands of people in contributing to that. So well done.
Thank you.
And it doesn't matter about the weather either. You're jumping into cold waters. But I was there a previous one, as you know. The atmosphere was as good, was it?
The atmosphere, brilliant atmosphere again. And the Navy vessel was there again this year, and that added to the whole, the pizzazz of the whole thing. But definitely. And look, it's you'd be delighted just to do your small bit. And the athletes of the Special Olympics, they're an inspiration. You know, they are inspirational.
Definitely.
And they have such courage. So, I mean, really and truly, when you're standing there ready to jump, you have to just, you have to keep that at the forefront of your mind. The courage these people have, it'll be over in a few seconds and no, a great day out.
Great stuff. Well done, Grania, for all you do in promoting that and taking part and raising hundreds of euros. Well, as everyone who got involved in that, it sounds like it was great fun. Okay, thank you very much, Garda Grania Doherty. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 21st of February, 2023. We're back just after the 10 o'clock news next week. Okay, well, welcomed on the programme now, I'm delighted to say, by Charlie Weston, who's Irish Independent Personal Finances Editor. Thanks for your time this morning, Charlie. We do appreciate it.
You're welcome. No problem.
Right, so we got quite a strong indication in your paper today of what is in store. Government meeting currently, is that correct, to finalise this? And do you expect any changes from what's been reported today, or any additional measures for that matter?
No, it looks like, you know, the proposal going to government is for all social welfare recipients to get a €200 bonus payment. It's about a €1.25 billion package. It's like a mini budget, really. The payment will be made to pensioners, carers, lone parents and people with disabilities. There's also going to be a €100 bonus for every child on the child benefit scheme, or child allowance, some people still call it. Back to school clothing and footwear allowance, there will be an extra €100 on that. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is there's doesn't seem to be any new credit at the moment for your electricity bill. We're due another one in March next month. But there was expectations that there might be another one to get us through the next couple of months.
And Charlie, in relation to that, would they be sort of looking at, you know, maybe heading into the spring? I know it's a sort of a retrospective payment, but would they be factoring in the fact that maybe people are under less pressure, or maybe in the coming months there might be some reduction in the cost of electricity? Or are they looking at the numbers and saying, at this time we can't afford that? I do wonder what would be the factors that would bring them to that decision.
I think there's a number of things that, you know, you mentioned the cost, and that's a factor. It's probably about €400 million to give another, €200 credit to your electricity bill. But, you know, mild weather probably has played a part. It's been relatively mild up to now. I turned off my heating yesterday when it came on because it was too hot. I work from home at the moment. And the other thing, I suppose, is that we have seen the first of the cuts. Penergy, although a very small player, they have kind of put it up to the rest of the market by cutting their prices. You know, we now, we hope that Electric Ireland, Bord Gáis, Energia and SSE Airtricity, the big four, that they'll respond with some cuts because they're benefiting from a fall in wholesale prices.
But is it not the case, though, that Pinergy are coming back to the field somewhat, because they really are still, even with their cuts, they're more expensive than a lot of the big players already. I'm not sure how much pressure the likes of SSE Airtricity might feel from Pinergy's move.
No, but it's the fact that wholesale prices are way back. I mean, if I get a tweet once a day from somebody telling me wholesale prices are down, why aren't the energy companies cutting their prices? You know, as if I run an energy company, I don't. But so it's a reasonable argument, and that's the reason that Pinergy gave. They said, look, at wholesale prices are back to the pre-Ukrainian invasion levels, so they're at a 17-month low. Now, they're still high relative to where they were before COVID started, but at least they've come right back. You know, the energy companies will say, look, we're locked into long-term contracts. We bought gas, which is used for half of the generation of electricity in the country, and obviously it's used to supply gas into homes. They say, look, we bought wholesale gas at these with these futures contracts. We're locked into long-term pricing. It'll take a while for those to unravel. You know, that certainly is the case, but some of those would be unravelling. You know, that there is an opportunity here for companies to cut prices. So the hope, I suppose, is that we'll start to see some reductions. What we've heard from Electric Ireland, the biggest player in the market, certainly for electricity supply, is that they will forgo any profits on their retail business this year. They're giving their customers €50 back. SSE Airtricity has said they'll forgo profits as well. We haven't heard that from Bord Gáis, which is owned by the British company Centrica, which reported profits of, wait for it, £3.3 billion.
They were down a bit, though, weren't they?
There were triples, actually. They had tripled, in my information, they had tripled to 3.3 billion.
Okay, yeah.
Now, they're saying that they're losing money on the Borgosh retail side is losing money, even though they're making money on their power generation. They have a massive power plant down in Whitegate. But, you know, so the hope is that the wholesale pricing will mean that we will see in the next couple of months some relief for people, because energy prices have gone through the blinking roof. Doubled, the electricity prices doubled to about $2,000 for a typical household. That's an enormous price increase.
And a lot of people were living week to week, not able to absorb that. And the bad news keeps coming in terms of the excise on petrol and diesel. And the funny thing about this is, Charlie, chatting to a few people, I think the move by government kind of went over some people's heads, in that this is probably going to feel like just a straight up increase in the cost of petrol and diesel rather than a return to previous levels, if I've explained that correctly.
No, you have. Yeah, you're absolutely right. There was a cut in last year of 15 cents on the litre of diesel and 20 cents in petrol, but they're going to phase it in. It was due to that was put in place till the end of this month, and they're going to phase that back now, in those increases. And look, is there any justification for that, considering that there are so many levies and so much tax and levies on your litre of fuel, motor fuel? You know, your diesel and petrol they're subject to carbon tax, excise duty, the NORA levy, you know, the National Oil Reserves Agency levy, and VAT at 23%. So, you know, these were small reductions in the context of that. About 49% of the litre of petrol goes in duties and taxes to the government, 44% of your litre of diesel, according to AA Ireland. So, you know, I this will drive people insane, particularly your listeners who are car dependent. There aren't major public transport options. So this seems terribly, terribly unfair, given that the government has slapped about three different levies and taxes on petrol and diesel, and takes enough off them, bleeds the motorists dry already. So, you know, they could have left that in place, those reductions in the excise duty. Yeah. I think once that's absorbed by people, they'll be very annoyed by that and think it's totally unjustified to reintroduce those that higher excise duty in a phased basis.
Yeah, the temporary business energy support scheme is being retained. A lot of businesses I spoke to thought it was too difficult to get into or to qualify or too much of a handling. They've seemed to have recognised that it's been broadened out somewhat. Is it going to be easier for businesses to qualify and apply, I wonder, Charlie?
It should be. It certainly should be, because, you know, you heard businesses saying they needed to get their accountant to do it. Now, it shouldn't be, and that's just adding a cost. It shouldn't take that. These things should be fairly plain. You should be able to just say, look, here are my bills. My energy prices for my business have gone through the roof. Here's the proof. I need some help here. There is a scheme. You know, I shouldn't need an accountant spending hours and hours filling out forms and putting a thing together. So there is some recognition on that it hasn't been very well designed. We've come up with a lot of things in the last while, like PUP and Forever. PUP, for example, in the last couple of years. But this one, this temporary business energy support scheme, just looks like it was just too complicated. Sometimes, you know, bureaucrats outdo themselves by putting complications in. It's to avoid being ripped off, the exchequer being ripped off. Of course, that's important. But it shouldn't be so complicated that businesses can't apply for it.
Now, I'm getting specific questions in here in terms of things like, will people on illness benefit qualify for the bonus? Do we know an answer to that question yet? Because obviously we get the headlines leaked, but maybe not every element of it. Would you be able to answer that question, Charlie?
I don't know the full details on that.
Understood.
We'll have to see. There'll be a big, long piece of Excel, probably program issued with all the different rate increases. I don't know exactly what's going up, but it certainly Heather Humphreys, the Social Protection Minister, has been looking for across the board increases for pensioners, carers, lone parents, people with disabilities. That's the list of people I have at the moment who are to benefit.
I knew it was too much, little to ask you about specifics, but I thought I'd put the question to you, and I fully understand the answer. And it seems relatively cheap to keep the hospitality industry, and I presume hairdressers and others, happy in extending the 9% VAT to the end of the tourism season, though the season goes beyond the date. You know, 300 million in terms of, you know, supporting those businesses, keeping people connected to their work, keep people in jobs. Or maybe 300 million's a lot of money. I don't know anymore with the amount of money that's been falling out of the money tree, Charlie. So I haven't a clue.
It seems hard, like good value. If the predictions were correct and it wasn't just lobbying and exaggeration, this is needed to avoid restaurants in particular going into, haven't been forced to close down. I mean, they were saying that if they didn't have this, large numbers of them would be forced to shut. You know, if we're coming out of the after the Christmas period, it's always quiet for restaurants in particular. So, yeah, I think Michael McGrath has listened, obviously, to what he's been told by the likes of the Restaurants Association, that this was needed to be kept in place. As somebody who works for a newspaper, I can't complain too much. The VAT on newspapers went to zero in January, so we benefited from that. We have very high VAT rates in this country, so I always have sympathy for arguments to keep them lower. 23%, the standard rate is very high, high by international standards, and it means that there's a huge cost then for people and for businesses involved in that. So. It looks like the extending that 9% stat VAT exemption looks like a bit of business to keep people on side and to keep businesses running, basically.
All right, Charlie. Listen, thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate it. Take care. Thanks. Charlie Western, Irish Independent Personal Finance Editor. The government's ministers deciding or meeting, cabinet meeting, to sign off on that. And we'll get more details as it relates to your specific questions for the show tomorrow. So fear not, we'll get those answers if you can't source them yourself between now and then. Deputy Mark McSharry joins us now. Thanks for taking the call today.
Good morning.
Right, okay. Now, you've made your submission to the Electoral Commission ahead of expected electoral boundary changes. What are you proposing, Mark?
Well, in line with my own commitments going back to the election in 2011, when they started to slice off parts of counties, I have been lobbying for the reunification of counties. And while, of course, it's a privilege to represent the people of South Donegal and indeed parts of any county, the fair way to do it is to respect county boundaries.
I'll miss you, but I want back in Donegal, Mark. No harm to you. You know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's exactly what I tried to do in the last review and again in this one. So we call for 2 3-seat constituencies in Donegal, which would leave it at about 27,700 or thereabouts per TD in terms of population, which is within the thresholds allowable under the constitution. Also Sligo and Leitrim to stay together as they kind of have traditionally been. That would allow for a 4-seater there. And then the other part of the constituency within with us is Roscommon. And again, before they had been in with Longford, so all of Roscommon and all of Longford together also to form a 4-seater. That way we won't have this kind of patchwork constituency where it's as if the Electoral Commission leave us till last and they try and make it work by slicing pieces of counties up.
Yeah, and it doesn't make a lot of sense on a number of levels because you'll have councillors in Bundoran and Ballyshannon who obviously sit in the council in Lifford, and then, you know, you'll have that same area that they represent being represented by someone from South Sligo, I presume from a party perspective of independence in terms of trying to get a platform and develop a career. That's not very helpful. But we have this strange thing in splitting up counties for media reasons and political reasons, and there's not a great deal of rhyme or reason to it.
No, I'm totally opposed to it. And I've set out how it can be achieved. And I'm very hopeful that on this occasion they will honour, number one, the wishes of the people and ensure that county boundaries are maintained. I mean, the Constitution states that no less than 20,000 per elected preferred TD, a member of the Dáil, and no more than 30,000. And what I have proposed totally respects those guidelines. One of the issues that has emerged with electoral reviews through the years is they've tried to ensure that the variance from constituency to constituency stays within around about 5%, so that, you know, everybody has in or around 25,000 to 27,000. And there is nothing in law that demands that. It's just a practice that they have adopt it. Now, you know, obviously we have an exponentially growing urban conurbation on the eastern seaboard, and if they continue with that practice, I mean, in 20 or 30 or 40 years, you'll end up with about 150 PDs on the eastern seaboard, you know, around to Cork, and very little representation on the western seaboard.
And let me ask you one more time, what's your proposal for Donegal? Two constituencies, what's your
two,
proposal?
Two three-seat
so
constituencies.
So 6 PDs, okay, interesting.
And that comes in at about 27,700 of population per TD.
Right, okay, we shall see. I do wonder, what do you think the public would think, the people of Ballyshannon and Bundoran think? Do you think they maybe they feel more connected to Sligo Town than they might Letterkenny or Inishowen?
Look, not at all. As I said, it's a privilege to represent that area.
Mm-hmm.
But the people of Donegal, whether it's you know, on the border at Tullahan on the southern side, or whether it's Mullinasole, they want to be with Donegal. And one of the unwieldy parts of the constituency as it is, you know, from a TD's perspective, you're dealing with four county councils, four planning authorities, two community health organisation areas, two police divisions. And if you take the representation in Dublin North Central, for example, where geographically it's a ministerial area, one of the key issues is, in our area, there's a very diverse number and type of issues that you're following up for people, from the very rural to the urban and so on, all the variety of issues that need to be dealt with within that. Whereas a smaller constituency in Dublin might have one set of issues.
Yeah, and there's always a line, but like I'm in one constituency and my next door neighbours, like next door, are in a different constituency. I know there's always going to be a line where it changes, but it seems crazy. Mark, listen, thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
No, we'll
watch with
Thank
interest
you,
to see what comes from that. Take care.